The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
You know, I could say that in any generation, and it'd be true. It's always an exciting time to serve the Lord. Serving Jesus Christ, for me, serving Jesus Christ has always been an adventure. God has taken me on one adventure after another in His kingdom. Sometimes I had to drag Tammy kicking and screaming, but we got there. She always supported me. I don't want you to think she wasn't a support. She always supported me, but she was not always excited about everything that I felt like God was calling us into. You got to understand, Tammy's pretty much a homebody. She's a great organizer, but she likes being at home. She likes cooking and being around the house and doing those kind of things. And everything that we've been involved with is actually taking her away from that. We're very thankful, though, that God has allowed us to be able to purchase this home that we have. I'm thankful to this congregation.
Thank you, Lord.
So many people have stepped up and helped us, provided labor, provided financial assistance, all kinds of, I know you've been praying. Those of you who couldn't do anything else, you've been praying for us, and that's awesome. It's an exciting time for us in our life. Our new baby. Our son just had a, wow,
yay,
new baby girl. He's a proud papa, and I'm a very proud papa.
Oh, she's so cute.
Yes, I'm so excited about what God's doing in his life. You know, it hasn't been that many years ago that you were all surrounding us and praying for us because of the crisis in his life. God has turned that around. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you, Lord God. See, you said it.
Gee
whiz.
Last thing I want to do is get in front of you and cry. Show my emotion. You know, I'm not really that kind of a guy most of the time. You guys just bring it out of me. I got it.
God is good.
Ah. We want to talk this morning about for such a time as this, because I believe that this is a very important time in the history of the church, in the history of the world. We are living in perilous times. I truly believe that. But we are also living in exciting times. When we draw close to the Lord, when we do the proper things that are according to Scripture, we serve the Lord with all heart, soul, and mind, and we seek after Him, things happen.
Amen.
Lives are changed. Destinies are altered. Things do turn out better than they would otherwise. Yes, please bring that up. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, sir. Excuse me. So this morning, I would like to just read that scripture in Esther chapter 4, verse 14, because this is where I'm taking this title of this message from. And yeah, I know there's been hundreds and thousands, probably millions of messages preached on this very topic. But listen closely, because you've not heard this one, all right?
Amen.
Amen. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. Now, I need to stop right there and tell you that Mordecai, Esther's uncle, and I'm going to give you some more background about all this as we go through this. Her cousin, Mordecai, had raised Esther. And they were in a very difficult time where the Jewish people were being threatened with death. And Mordecai has come to her and asked her to go before the king. And she says to Mordecai, but you know that anyone who comes before the king faces death unless the king holds out his scepter to that person. In other words, she was trying to get out of going to the king. And Mordecai explains to her that if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise from the Jews from another place. This is a very good point for all of us. As believers in Jesus Christ, in this day and time, if you remain silent, deliverance will come from some other place. But you will miss your blessing and your opportunity to be used by God. And that's what he tells her here. But you and your house, your father's house will perish. Yet, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And that's really my topic this morning as I talk to you. I want it to be personal. I want it to be about Bethel Worship Center. I want it to be about your life. Who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? God knows. And the reality was, I believe, even though Mordecai said that to Esther, I believe he knew in his heart. He knew that she had been called. But he wanted her to know. He wanted her to come to the conclusion that she had been placed in that specific place and time for the deliverance of the Jewish people. God was using her in a mighty way. And I say to you this morning, who knows whether you have been called to the kingdom or come to the kingdom this morning for such a time as this? I know. You have. We have. The body of Christ has. But you have specific callings and purpose in the kingdom of God beginning right now, that you need to accept, receive, and walk in. Because there's a people out there that need you to be used by God. This story takes place somewhere between 482 BC and 486 BC. It's during the reign of Ahasuerus, Medo-Persian king. Many historians believe he is known in most historical settings as Xerxes the First. Now, here's what has happened leading up to this particular situation. The Jewish people have rebelled against God. And God had warned them over and over and over through the prophets. If they rebel, he was going to conquer them. He's going to send somebody to conquer them. Well, they just continued to rebel, so the Babylonians came along. God used the Babylonians. He used Nebuchadnezzar. Now listen, this is God's way. He may use some evil force to discipline his people sometimes. That's just, he allows it to happen. He's not going to bring evil upon you. He just allows. He steps back and says, okay, your protection is no longer given to you. And he allowed the Babylonian king to come. The Babylonian kingdom warned the Jewish people if they would just submit to him, they would not be, he would not conquer them. He would not take them away, but they refused. They kept rebelling. So 605 BC, the Babylonians set siege to Jerusalem and began carrying away captives. You all know Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. You probably know them more by their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these were Jewish young men who were carried away in that first wave of captives. They continued to besiege a city and take captives clear up until 582 BC. Many years. And then in 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar just got sick and tired of messing with the Jewish people who continued to rebel. And he went in, destroyed the city, killed many of the residents that were left in the city, and totally destroyed the temple. It was just devastated. The Babylonians ruled for many years after that, and God used Daniel and his three friends and many other Jewish people during that period of time to speak to the world at large and the government at large. Nebuchadnezzar came to realize that the Jewish God, Yahweh, was the true God of all creation. All the leaders down through into the Persian leadership came to a conclusion that there really was a God in heaven. Because Daniel and his three friends and many other Jews took a stand and faithfully believed in Yahweh. In 939 BC, Cyrus, the Medo-Persian ruler, conquered Babylon. And in conquering Babylon, he took the whole Babylonian empire. He defeated the king of Babylon, and he set up his rule. Now, here's something that, you know, a lot of people, they like to make excuses and say, well, it was probably written after the this actually took place. But the reality is, 150 years before Cyrus actually came to rule Babylon, he was named by name by Isaiah as the one who would release the Jews to be able to go back and rebuild their city. It's an incredible prophecy. And it's a proclamation to the world that God is speaking to people through His Word. And if we will listen to it, we will not only recognize Bible prophecy that has been fulfilled in the past, but He'll speak to your life and change you and speak prophecy into your life and prepare you for such a time of as this. I really believe that we need to recognize, we need to look at this, because who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. I'm going to change that. I know that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Now, when Cyrus released the Jews to go back, about 42,000 of them left the empire to return to Jerusalem. And that's incredible that many of them decided they were going to go back. But there was thousands and thousands more that remained in the Babylonian empire. Now, those who went back could have criticized those who didn't. Maybe, you know, they did. I don't know. But here's the point that I want to make. Be careful who you're criticizing. God may call you to do something that He's not calling somebody else to do. He may call you to give up something that He's not calling other people to give up. He may call you into a relationship that He calls nobody else into. He may call you to a workplace, a job, a business that He's called nobody else to. And when He does that, I can guarantee you, other people, hopefully nobody in this car, no, I know, no one in here would, but other people will criticize you. They won't understand. They won't understand what God has spoken to you. That's why it's so important that we don't look around and try to criticize others. Let them have a relationship with God. No, I'm not saying that we don't try to divert people from wrong kind of living, and we speak the Word of God and we teach people the truth. You know, I want that to happen here from this pulpit and from this church. I want us to be able to have the kind of relationship where I can say to Bud, Bud, that's not the right kind of television program you should be watching. Now, I don't know what he's watching. I'm not picking on Bud this morning. You know, And I say that out of love because, it's important what we're pouring into ourselves. If we want to pour out something good, we've got to pour in good things. So, yeah, we need to be able to do that, but we also need to allow people to hear from God so that we're not putting ourselves in the place of judgment. So anyhow, what I'm saying about this particular situation is 42,000 went, thousands stayed. Had the thousands that had not stayed, some of them stayed because they were called to stay, is what I'm trying to tell you. Others were called to go. This group was called to stay because through those descendants, through those people, came Esther and Mordecai, who saved all of the generation of the Jews through the power of God. It is really important that we recognize that God has different ministry and callings for different people. Not everyone is called to the pulpit ministry. In fact, some people that think they're called to the pulpit ministry really have not been called to the pulpit ministry. You know the ones I'm talking about. Right? Now, I say that because I want you to understand that yes, some have been given apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher for the perfecting of the saints or the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. Absolutely, we have to have those ministries. It's important. But for some reason, we have put greater emphasis on the people that are in the pulpit and are trying to teach and train the masses of people over the people who are going out into the marketplace and touching the lives of people on a daily basis. There is a difference in this calling that we have. The calling to the pulpit ministry, it's extremely important ministry. It's a calling for souls, absolutely, but it's a calling for equipping the saints. Now listen to this. The calling for the other type of ministry, the marketplace ministry, that the majority of the body of Christ is called to, is a soul-winning ministry. We're supposed to be about sharing the gospel. But it's more about building the kingdom than the church ministry is. Because being in the ministry out there where we're coming in contact with the world, it's about having the right kind of character, the right kind of influence, the right kind of attitude, the right kind of behavior. Amen? So that you're not bringing shame on the church. I mean, we like to look at the pastors in the past who have fallen from grace and point our fingers and say, oh, shame on them. But what about the millions and billions of Christians who defame the name of Jesus Christ by their behavior and their attitude? We don't talk about that. So we're supposed to be about this building the kingdom. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to do everything I can to equip you so that you can do the work of the ministry. Here at Bethel, we do that together, but we also do it out there where the world is touched, where the kingdom of God is really magnified. Think about Daniel and his three friends. Think about Esther. Think about all the characters that were in the world system, the Babylonian system. And what happened to them? In most cases, they were put in a position where they had to cry out to God. They had to have a kind of relationship with God that was face to face. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Man, that's pretty incredible. But you know what? I believe all of us probably pray more than three times a day. Amen? You know, I'm trying to remember who it was that said it. One of the old evangelists. He said, I don't pray more than 10 minutes at a time, but I don't go more than 10 minutes without praying. Wigglesworth, that's who it was. Smith Wigglesworth. Yeah. I'm not promoting that. I think we should have some special prayer time. But we have the Holy Spirit here. Our thoughts, we're just constantly communicating with Almighty God. And we recognize that as we go through our day-to-day life. At the time of this story, the Jewish people had been released to go back into their home, Jerusalem, rebuild Jerusalem and all that, for over 70 years. But God had a plan for those who stayed behind. And that plan was for them to infiltrate the system, the lifestyle, the community that they lived in, and touch them with the kingdom of God. And he gave Esther and Mordecai the opportunity because he had placed them for such a time as this. I believe with all my heart that we're in those kind of times again. Difficult times, but good times for God's people to rise up and believe and trust in our God. To know that he's going before us, around us, and behind us. To know that he stands with us. We need to stand with him. In the late 1700s, the British Empire was very strong. And there was a man by the name of William Wilberforce who was in the British Parliament. Wilberforce was kind of a wild guy for a while. He drank, he gambled, he ran around a lot. Kind of guy that I see sitting out here. You know, in the past, not the same anymore, but in the past. And then he had a conversion to Christ. Jesus came into his life, and it changed him completely. And for a while, he couldn't figure out exactly what God wanted him to do. He had contemplated going into the pastoral work. But he had friends that surrounded him, and they said, "No, God has placed you in a unique position. God wants to use you to make changes in our society." And he prayed about it, and he was very reluctant because he didn't feel like he really had the ability to do it. But he was very reluctant to do it, but he decided, yes, I'm going to. And one of the people that encouraged him was John Newton. Everybody remember John Newton who wrote the song Amazing Grace, the hymn? John Newton was a pastor, and he encouraged him. He said, "Listen, God has appointed you to be in this position." And one of the things that they were fighting for was the abolishment of the slave trade, because it was horrible at that time. They were bringing slaves from Africa in ships and packing them in, and many of them, more than half of them would die by the time they got them to their destination. They didn't care. And Wilberforce had a heart for it, and he prayed about it, and he asked God what he should do, and he really believed that he was supposed to go and fight. Not physically fight, but fight in Parliament against the slave trade. So for 20 years, he fought. 20 long years. They brought bill after bill after bill. And you know, when a trade like this is threatened, they're very powerful. We know how powerful the drug trade is. You know, the drug cartel. They have lots of money. They can fight against it. And they just kept defeating him. So for 20 years, he battled. And finally, they were able to pass some bills. And 3 days after William Wilberforce passed away, they passed the Slave Act that abolished slavery in Great Britain. Now, you'd think, you know, he wasted his whole life for that one thing. No. He had a mission. He had a vision. He accomplished God's will. But let me tell you something. Here's something else that we need to realize, that sometimes we have this thing that we think we're supposed to be accomplishing, and we don't realize that we're accomplishing many other things along the way. We're touching so many lives. Wilberforce, not only was he able to, that was his crowning achievement, but during his lifetime, he saw reforms in education because of his desires and his bills. He saw reforms in labor. Children no longer had to work in sweatshops because of him. He saw reforms in education. The masses were able to be educated. He saw reforms in just about every area of society because he was faithful to God. I know he was called. He came to the kingdom for such a time as that. You have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Hallelujah. Your business, your workplace, your career, whatever you call it. It's extremely important. God has placed you there. Maybe you're wanting him to put you someplace else. It's okay. Just make sure you're done where you are. Just make sure you've done everything God has called you to, that you've accomplished it. Wow. Boy, this part of the message is taking a lot longer than I expected. Let's go back to the story a little bit, and I'll see where it leads us to. King Ahasuerus decided that, beginning of this story, he decided that since he had come to the kingdom about a year ago, that he wanted to show off his splendor. And he brought all his officials and everybody around, and he showed everything off in the kingdom. And it must have been a beautiful, beautiful place. You probably all have heard of the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Well, they believe that was a real place, a beautiful, beautiful place. He was in charge of all this stuff now. It all belonged to him. And he wanted to show it off. Maybe he was bragging a little bit, no doubt. Men have a tendency to do that sometimes. God's not too pleased with it, so we need to watch it. But he decided that he was going to do this, and he had this 180-day time that he was showing everybody all the splendor of his kingdom, and then at the end of it, for a week, they had a party. And they really partied. He brought out all his best wine and delicacies and all the food. And oh, man, what a party they had. At the end of the week, the king was a little bit under the influence of his wine. And he got an idea. Now, gentlemen, I hope none of you get in this position where you're under the influence of wine or alcohol. But whatever you're under the influence of, just be careful the decisions that you make. Because He decided that he was going to show off the queen. And he got on his cell phone and he called up the eunuchs and he said, dress the queen in her best gown and bring her over. Well, the eunuchs were willing to do so, but when they told Vashti what they were going to do, she didn't like it much. She was opposed to being displayed like a piece of art before a bunch of drunken men. Can't much blame her, can you? And she refused to go. That made the king furious. Of course, remember, he's a little tipsy too. And in his fury, his advisors start telling him, well, you can't let a woman act like that, king. And they gave him some pretty bad advice, as far as I'm concerned. Now, remember, this is all in God's will, though. God is in control of it. But they gave him some pretty bad advice. They said, you need to get rid of that woman. She's rebellious. And they did, and he did. But you know, a few days later, it wasn't too long after that, the king kind of regretted his actions. He started thinking about it, and I miss her. She was a beautiful woman. What have I done? Well, his aides came to him, his advisors came to him very quickly, because you realize their head was on the chopping block. They had told him, you need to get rid of her, and now he was feeling kind of bad about it. You know, if he kept feeling bad about it, he might just start off with your head. You're the one that told me to do this. He had the power to do that. So they came to his rescue immediately, and they said, listen, let's get all the beautiful virgins in all of Babylon and bring them here, and you choose the one that best suits you. Well, the king's eyes lit up for that one. You can't much blame him. Come on, men. You're on my side, right? Got you, bud. So that's what they did. They had this incredible beauty pageant. And they brought all these beautiful women together. And Esther, a Jewess, was one of them. And here's what is so incredible about this, is that God's favor was upon her. There is no doubt about it. God's favor. And that's the first thing that I think that we need to recognize. When we start thinking about what is before us, what we need to do in the future, this time that we are in, that when we recognize that I have been, you have been, Bethel Worship Center has been called or has come into the kingdom for such a time as this, that we can expect God's favor. You can expect God's favor in your life. Let's go through this real quick because I'm running out of time. I realize that. Esther 2. Chapter 2, verse 15. Now, everyone got their turn to go into the king and impress the king. Now, here's what it says about Esther. Now, when the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Bihiel, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter to go into the king, she requested nothing but what Haggai, the king's eunuch, the custodian of the women, advised. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. So Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus into his royal palace in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the seventh year of his reign. Verse 17 says, and the king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Favor was upon her. But listen. Listen to what it says closely. It says she did exactly what she was told to do. She got advice from the right person. She found favor in Haggai's eyes as well. And he bestowed upon her information that he didn't give to the rest of them. He told her exactly how to conduct herself when she went into the king. She had favor, but I want you to understand this. Favor is not always just something that comes upon you and you don't have any responsibility in it. Favor is something that God bestows upon his people, but we have, I said peepers because I was just thinking Jerry brought me peeps this morning for Easter. Tammy just went to Texas. She just left this morning to go to Texas with our daughter because she's having back surgery. You probably all know that. But Jerry brought those peeps in to me this morning. He gave it was a real nice sack he's setting up there. And he said, I want you to look in there. And so I looked in there, and it was my favorite peeps. So I know I'm going to be okay for the next 10 days while Tammy's gone. I have peeps. Oh, I'm sorry, I got off track there. God's goodness and his favor is upon us as his people, but we have a responsibility to conduct ourselves properly. We have got to be people of integrity, honesty, character. And I know there's a lot of characters in the body of Christ, but that's not what I'm talking about. We have to have the kind of character that promotes Jesus. You go out from this place, you are a representative of three things, whether you like it or not. No, maybe even more than that. You're a representative of you and your family. You are a representative of Bethel Worship Center. You are a representative of the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. And whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, you're a representative of Pastor Rob Barber because you sit under the ministry that I lead. People judge me by you. Amen. Mm-hmm. Wow, I'm not sure. Favor is incredible. God's favor is incredible. And when we conduct ourselves properly, God's favor will sweep over us and usher us into positions and situations that we never, ever imagined. He'll do great things on our behalf. Now, I'm not telling you you're going to be without obstacles or difficulties or situations in your life. People are going to come against you. Things are going to happen. This life happens to all of us. We all have problems and difficulties. That doesn't stop the favor of God. In fact, when we conduct ourselves properly in the face of those situations, the favor of God is more powerful than ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Esther's behavior helped garner the favor of Haggai and the king. Number two, thing that I want to share with you this morning real quick. Make sure you don't compromise. And we've already talked about that. Don't compromise your life. Don't compromise your situation. Do the right things regardless of the cost. Remember the three Hebrew children and their situation. It's Daniel 3, 12 through 18. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you this morning. We're just not going to go through that just because I want to get on with this message. But what I want you to understand is this, that these men were men of integrity, honestly, as Esther also was. Mordecai, very much so. These were people of quality who decided that they were going to do the right thing in the face of adversity. That meant that sometimes they had to disagree with the powers to be, powers that were over them. Not because they were rebellious, You know, I don't fasten my seatbelt sometimes. Not because, you know, it's something that I should or shouldn't do. It's because I'm rebellious. And I know that. My wife reminds me of that constantly. Sometimes I just do it to kind of get under her skin. That's bad, isn't it? That is really bad. Yeah. That, I don't know. I'll repent. Probably later, but yes, it is. But she's not here. She probably. Amen. When we stand against government or a business, a workplace, the rules and the laws, it must be because it is something that is opposing the Word of God, not because it's something that opposes our comfort.
Right. Amen.
Amen. We have to take a stand for God. Yes. Now listen to me. Here's something that is extremely important that we must understand. I have people tell me all the time, you know, I'm just being persecuted at work. They're treating me terrible. And I find out later, they're treating them terrible because they're not doing their job. They're slacking. They're, in some cases, they're doing what they think is ministry to other people when they're supposed to be working. That's wrong. I'm telling you, yeah, you can minister to people. Absolutely, you should. But don't take money out of your employer's pocket. These are not exciting words for most people, but it's real. It's God's Word. Okay, here's what I want you to see about this. These three Hebrew children, they say this, the same thing that Esther said. Esther said, you know, I'm going to go do this, and if I perish, I perish. Here's what they said. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. He said, if you don't fall down and worship this image, I'm going to throw you in this fiery furnace. And they said, we can't. We don't even need to talk to you about it, king. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Now listen, this part is as important as the part where they say, we know God is able to deliver us. He's going to deliver us from this. But if not, they're not questioning God's power. They're just saying, listen, if it's not God's will in this situation to deliver us, we don't care because we know what is right. Let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the God, the golden image which you have set up. They made a declaration, a proclamation. They did not and would not compromise their position. They chose from the get-go to do what was right in the sight of God. Choose to do what is right in the sight of God. I'm encouraging you. If you work for somebody, do your best. If you're a business person, you know you have to do your best for your customers. That's just a given. You wouldn't be in the position you're in if you wasn't doing your best. You know that. That's what people are expecting. I want you to know, you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. We have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Don't compromise. Expect God's favor. Do your best. Don't compromise. Seek the Lord is the next thing. Hallelujah. Do you not have the outline? Oh, there it is. Okay, thank you. Esther proclaimed, and she told him, I'm not going to read it, I'm just going to say what happened, just tell you what happened. She told Mordecai, go away, tell the people we're going to fast and pray, because our people are in danger of losing their life. There's been a proclamation brought about by Haman through the king that all the Jews are going to be killed on such and such a date. Pray, fast, seek the Lord. Now, I share this with you this morning because we just came through a 21-day prayer and fasting. It was awesome for me. I hope it was for you. It's incredible to seek the Lord and know that other people are doing exactly the same thing. You feel the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Seek the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Serve Him. Recognize that God has called us to seek Him first above everything else. I know this world that we live in and the society is busy. We go, we have to go here and go there and do things. Many people are taking kids to ball games. Sometimes you have more than one kid in different age groups in sports. And you're going here, going there. But don't forget who the Lord is. Make sure you seek the Lord. Seek Him with all your heart. Seek Him and recognize His goodness. Deuteronomy 4:9 says this, seek the Lord your God and you will find Him. If you seek Him with all your heart and all your soul. I just encourage you this morning. Seek the Lord. Seek Him because I know that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. The last thing I want to share with you, be courageous. Amen. You're going to have God's favor. You're going to go through all these things. You're going to have God's favor. You're going to seek the Lord. You're not going to compromise. You're going to stand on the things of God. But then there's going to come a time where you just have to be courageous. You just have to say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to fulfill God's will. I'm going to accomplish this thing that God has called me to. Joshua 1:9 says, I have not commanded you, be strong. Have not I commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't worry about the circumstances. Don't worry about the situation. Our God is with us. We have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And our God will go before us. Our God is with us. Be courageous. Take a stand. Recognize the enemy will try to stop you. Don't let him. Courage is not the absence of fear. I mean, we've been told over and over, don't fear, don't fear, don't fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Absolutely. No doubt about it. Does that stop fear from trying to enter in? No. Absolutely not. How do you combat fear? The Word of God. Recognize what the Word of God says. The fear will continue to come. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So we combat it with that. God is love. It casts out. Perfect love casts out fear. So you combat fear with the Word of God. You stand on it. But there comes a time that you will be face to face with a situation, a giant, a mountain, an ocean. I don't know what it is that you're going to be faced with. What analogy I can draw this morning. But I know that you're going to be faced with it. It's going to be right in your face. And fear is going to try to rise up. That's the time when you must have already decided that I'm going to be courageous in the face of fear. I'm going to do what is right before Almighty God. I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to leave you this morning with the words of David to his son Solomon. You all know that David desired to build the temple. And he got everything together. He went to Nathan the prophet, and the prophet said, "Do whatever's in your heart. God's with you." And then he no longer left. And God spoke to the prophet and said, "Go back and tell David I don't want him building the temple because his hands are bloody. He's a man of war. I've got his son prepared to build the temple." So he had to go back in time. And there, you know, that must have crushed David, because David really wanted to build this temple. He'd already started gathering up all the items that was necessary to build the temple of God. But he also must have been very proud to know that his son, you know, I can identify with that. I'm very proud. My daughter, Bethany is sitting here this morning. Very proud of her. Very proud of my son, new baby, his life. Very proud of my daughter in Texas, things that God has brought her through and what he's doing. You know, I would that God would use them to do hundreds times more than he's ever used me for. That's my desire. He must have been very proud. But he wasn't going to get to do what he wanted to do, but he helped prepare the way for it. And this is, I'm going to leave you with these words this morning because they're so powerful. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20. "Be strong and of good courage and do it." Just do it. I love that. You know, Nike did not coin that phrase. David did. Just do it. Be strong. Be courageous. Do it. That's what we're going to do together. Amen. Amen. Stand with me. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to ask you just bow your head this morning. You know, if you're going through some things this morning that you just need some special prayer for, just raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you right here. Amen. I see those hands. All right. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Don't forget, you have the favor of God. Be encouraged. God is with you. Be courageous. Recognize that you can do it in Jesus' name. Father God, all those who raised their hands this morning, they're going through different situations, but you're still on their side. You are still the God that created them. You're still the God that leads and directs them. You are still an awesome and powerful God. And Father, I thank you for your favor upon them this morning. I thank you that they are overcomers. They will conquer. They will be strong. They will be courageous. And they will do it in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for this congregation this morning, as we recognize that we have all come into the kingdom for such a time as this. We will go forth from this place this morning assured that you are with us. You are directing us. That you will lift us up. You will encourage us. You will direct our very steps. You will order them, Lord. And we thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Have an awesome day. Praise God. If there's anyone who would like to have prayer for healing, please come up. Ask our prayer warriors to come up, please.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.